Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Let's continue our discussion of selling our product, and we're dealing with the sales revenue and accounts receivable part of that. And let's spend some time on accounts receivable. Let's move into the next slide, and remember, accounts receivable represent cash that is owed to the company. They come about when we make a sale of goods on account. We sell goods to our customers who take the goods and say, I'll pay you later. It's commonplace. It happens all the time in business. Of course, there is one big issue that we have to worry about whenever we sell goods on account. What do you think that is? What is going to be the one concern that we're going to run into when we sell goods on account? Well, go ahead to the next slide. The concern is not everybody's going to pay us. Not all customers actually pay their bills. So what are we going to do when customers fail to pay us what they owe us? In this case, because not all customers pay us, we must record what is called bad debt expense. And bad debt expense needs to be recorded every year. So every year, because of the fact that not all customers are going to pay, it's just a fact of doing business, we're going to have to record bad debt expense. Now, question for you. In which year should we record the bad debt expense related to a specific sale? I'm going to give you two options, and I want you to think about it for a second, and I want you to tell me what would be the correct answer. In which year would we record bad debt expense? Would we record it, A, in the year that we actually make the credit sale, or B, in the year that we determine the customer won't pay us? Now, before we answer this, I just would like to take a second and explain why these 2 years typically do not fall within the same period. These two transactions, making the sale and then determining that the customer won't pay us, they typically don't fall in the same year. Here's what happens. You make a sale to somebody. Say you make a sale to Mark Smith. And you say, okay, credit terms 210 net 60. So Mark, you have to pay me within 60 days. And I say, okay, and I take the goods. 60 days go by, and of course I don't pay you. What are you going to immediately, what are you going to do? You're not going to immediately say, oh my goodness, this customer's not going to pay us, let's eliminate him. Of course not. You're going to try to collect your money. So you're going to send me a letter in the mail. And the letter's going to say, oh, just a friendly reminder that you owe me money. I'm sure the check is in the mail. If our letters have crossed, please disregard this. And there will be a big happy face at the bottom of that letter. Of course, I ignore it. So I don't send in anything. Another 30 days go by, and you send me another letter. This one's not quite as friendly. It says, look, jerk, you owe me money. Send it in now. And there's a skull and crossbones on it. Of course, I kind of laugh and say, no, still not going to send in the cash. Give me another 30 days, no money. Now you have a collection agency try to get the money from me. They're calling me at home. They call me at work. They call my family, trying to harass me to a point where I'll pay you. Of course, it doesn't bother me. I just don't have any phones. So you give the collection agency maybe 60 days, try to collect the cash. You still can't get your money. Now you're really mad. Now you're waiting outside of my car with a big stick. You're going to beat the money out of me. Of course, I'm too fast, so you can't catch me, and you still don't get your cash. Eventually, after exhausting all of these options, the friendly letter, the unfriendly letter, the collection agency, even the big stick, eventually you just say, it's just not worth my time anymore. I'm spending more money trying to collect this cash from this loser than I would get if I actually got the cash. It's just not worth my time. Let's report him to the credit agency and simply get rid of him as an account receivable. But at that point, when you finally make that decision, you've typically moved into the next accounting period. So the question after that long involved discussion, in which of those accounting periods should the bad debt expense be recorded? The year you make the sale, or the year you finally determine the customer won't pay you after exhausting all of your attempts. Please go to the next slide with me and take a look at the answer. The answer is you record bad debt expense in the same year the sale is made. So bad debt expense recorded in the same year as the credit sale. Why? Well, the rationale for this is our good friend, the matching concept. The matching concept says expenses must be recorded in the year they help to generate revenue. The revenue is generated when the sale is made. Hence, the expense must be recorded in the same year. You must match the bad debt expense to the sales revenue that is generated when you sell goods on account. Saying it again, bad debt expense must be recorded in the same year as the credit sale is made in order to conform to the matching concept. But it's going to cause us a big problem. Please go to the next slide. Key point. In the year of the credit sales, we don't know which specific customers won't pay us. If we knew which specific customers wouldn't pay us, we just wouldn't sell to them. So we don't know which customers won't pay us. We just know that there is some percentage that won't. That's history. That's the way it works, unfortunately. We don't know the specific individuals that won't pay. We just know that some percentage won't pay. However, because bad debt expense must be recorded in year one, the year you make the sale, to conform to matching, this means bad debt expense is an estimate. We don't know who will and will not pay us. If we knew who wouldn't pay us, we wouldn't sell to them. However, to conform to matching, the expense needs to be recorded in the year we make the sale. Thus, bad debt expense is an estimate. That's key. That's crucial. You want to recognize that. Because of this matching concept, bad debt expense must be estimated. Now, please go to the next slide. And to record the bad debt expense estimate made every year as part of the adjusting process, to record the bad debt expense estimate, that's the journal entry. You debit bad debt expense for whatever the amount that you estimate is, and you credit this new account called the allowance for doubtful accounts. Debit bad debt expense, credit the allowance for doubtful accounts. Notice that the above entry, that entry you see there, the entry to estimate bad debt expense, is done at the end of every year, making it part of the adjusting process. It's an adjusting journal entry. Now, please go to the next slide, and let's talk about these two accounts in this adjusting entry. Start with the easier one, bad debt expense. Well, that's simply classified as an expense account, which means that it's found on the income statement. And since it's an expense account, it reduces net income. The allowance for doubtful accounts, a new account, one that's not quite as obvious, causes a decrease in our assets. Which means, before I reveal the answer, you tell me or you tell the computer screen, what type of account is it? If it causes a decrease in assets, the allowance for doubtful accounts is classified as a contra asset account. The contra asset account, opposite of assets, carries a normal balance on the credit side. Normal balance of an asset is a debit. The normal balance of a contra asset, a credit. In addition, the allowance for doubtful accounts is found on the balance sheet directly underneath the accounts receivable as a decrease. Again, these are bullet point characteristics that you should be able to list out for every account we talk about. The allowance for doubtful accounts, a contra asset, because it reduces assets. It's found on the balance sheet directly underneath accounts receivable as a decrease. Normal balance, a debit. One other characteristic of the allowance The allowance for doubtful accounts represents our estimate of our accounts receivable that we do not think we will collect. We recognize that not everybody pays us, so we have to estimate how much of the receivables we don't think we'll collect. That estimate is what is found in this allowance for doubtful accounts. Remember what financial statement it's found on? It's found on the balance sheet, right underneath accounts receivable. Go to the next slide with me, and let's look at a balance sheet, a partial balance sheet. Start with your current assets. You've got your cash, say $14,800. Next account we're going to see, accounts receivable, and right, and this is the new part, right underneath the accounts receivable is the allowance for doubtful accounts as a decrease. So you take the receivables, $200,000, subtract the allowance, that's the contra asset, and that gives you this difference of $188,000. Now this difference is a very important calculation, very important formula that you want to be comfortable with. The accounts receivable minus the allowance for doubtful accounts is called the company's net realizable value. So the NRV, or net realizable value, is simply equal to the accounts receivable minus the allowance for doubtful accounts. That's definitely something we will see a lot of as we move forward with this discussion.